Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless, hallelujah, 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 anyhow. I tell you, this morning, it's a wonderful day. I'm up, I'm ready, I'm going for it today. Ain't no stopping us now, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it's Friday morning. It's, what is it? It's April 29th, 2020. And it's freezing outside. It's cold outside. What is going on? It's cold outside. I'm expecting right now to be putting on, the summer wear stuff that you buy. I'm expecting to do all this stuff. And look, it ain't happening. It's not happening. I'm not understanding what the problem is. The sun coming out, but ain't no. That's it. The sun coming out, but ain't nothing else coming out with it. It's like we're sitting back waiting for something to happen that ain't happening. I was laughing. Me and my wife was talking yesterday, because what happened was the heat up really fast, and then a cold front came back in. So I'm sitting back and I'm saying, wait a minute, if it heated up fast, how did the cold front come back in like it did? So all the pretty flowers that we had, my wife had out front, they just gone. They gone. They did their thing. They just gone. I said, what in the world, God? I said, you done brought us through all the winter, brought us through all the stuff, got us the summer, and we still can't get no heat. What is the problem? What's the problem is? How come we ain't getting no heat? Can a brother get some heat? Can a brother just get some heat? That's all I want. Can a brother get a little bit of heat? That's all I'm asking. You know what I mean? Is that too much to ask? Is it too much to ask that I get some heat? Huh? That's all I want. God. Can a brother get some heat? That's all. And so, I'm sitting back and I'm saying, God, okay, thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're about to do. I'm now saying to myself, golly. Is the heat happening around here? Is some heat coming on around this place? Is we gonna get to a point where the sun gonna come out tomorrow? Is the sun coming out tomorrow? Can we get some sun out tomorrow? So the sun going out, but that's it. Just the sun. Ain't no heat falling. Why ain't no heat falling down? But anyway, I thank God for it. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be in the land of the living. I'm glad to be here with you. I want to thank everybody. We'll see this broadcast on the rebroadcast. I want to thank everybody that might pass it this morning. If you hear this on radio, please leave me a note, drop me a line. I love to hear what you think. And you know what? One of the best things I do like is I would love to have you reach out to me via my phone. So without further ado, you see the title. Hold on. God's got it. So we're about to get into it next on AJ Ministries. Hit my intro. So this is how it is, right? I first got to say, before I say anything else, I got to apologize to some people. Because due to how my upbringing, how I was raised as a child, the things I had to go through, I became kind of rigid in certain areas. And then when God came into my life and told me that it was okay to change, that I needed to change, I just ran for God. I'm trying to do everything humanly possible to run for God. And then as I ran for God and I started learning and getting knowledge and gifts and things like that, the thing come about where at this point in my life, I find myself kind of rigid concerning certain things. And it's not because I don't understand. It's because I see them in a different way. So I might be a bit rigid towards parents. I'm a little bit rigid towards men, especially. I'm a rigid adult. I can say that. I'm rigid towards adults. Because we, as adults, we see our children doing dumb things that we may have done when we was a child, but we know they're dumb. So when we tell them they're dumb and they don't listen to us, it pisses us off. And for me, I look at things and I'm like, wow, it's not just children. It's not people just in the inner city. It's going on all over the world. And My wife has a tendency. If she didn't bring some kindness or more kindness into my heart, as fast as she does, because she talks me off the ledge over and over again. I'm like, I'm tired of these people. You ever be like that? Like, I'm tired of these people. I keep telling them, and they keep going back to the same thing. What in the world do I got to do? Well, the Bible says we forgive people 70 times 70. So he forgives you over and over and over again. And I fail to remember or think about it at times that he forgave me over and over and over and over again, because the many times that I fell short, the many times that I didn't walk the way I should have walked, the many times that I messed up. So he said, so she's constantly reminding me of it. She doesn't use that scripture, but every time she reminds me of it, God reminds me of that scripture, and I'm like, man, but God. And so, because I would say, God, if they knew better, they'd do better. But it's not, because some of us know better and still don't do better. So then she takes me down this long road, you know, because my wife is really a deep person. She's really, like, when you talk about dealing with spirits and understanding the Bible in its entirety and delving deep into the concept and precepts of it, that's my wife. She can take a – and I say, when we start doing our broadcast together, you're going to see what I'm talking about. Because she can – anyway, and I love her dearly. Love you, honey. I love her dearly for it. Because she reminds me that, you know what, regardless of what's going on the outside, regardless of what that person is doing or saying or how they act, there's still a soul in there. And that's our job. Our job is to reach that soul. Our job is to say, regardless of how many times you did the same thing, regardless of how much you messed up, regardless of how many people you've hurt in your life, or regardless of how many chances you had over and over again, God says there is still a soul. And it's our job to keep going back, keep going back. So I apologize. Forgive me if I sound judgmental. Forgive me if I sound real harsh. But I love God so much, and I want people to have God so bad, to find the life that I have, to enjoy the things that I enjoy, to enjoy the peace that I live in. I mean, people look for miracles and things like that in different ways. They look in their lifestyle to be different ways. But I truly believe that God, I tell you the truth, I believe that the way God has set this thing up, there's no way that you could not understand that God wants so much for us. And I just want you to have everything, all the stuff that God has for me, he got some same stuff for you. You know, I want you to, you know, let me break it down how I got it. So this is how God gave it to me. When you wake up every morning and everything around you is all about, you know, money, selling drugs, you live in the middle of the hood, stuff like that, you aren't in a place where you want to live like that. You may be on welfare. You may be, you know, down on your luck. It could be any reason. You know what I mean? But but God is always there to move you. If you move with them, you know, I know so many parents and so many people that have worked all their lives, that have strived all their lives just to be good people, and to find themselves in situations less than fulfilling. And I say to you today, hold on. God got it. If you take a moment, if you take a second out and you say to yourself, listen, I cannot do this alone. I got to give this to God. God's got it. Listen to me. And this is listen to me. There's an Ecclesiastes 9. The Bible says, people do the scripture in a different way, but I'm going to read the scripture as it says. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet breathe to the wise, bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happened to them all. Did you catch that? I just want to make sure you with me. He said, the race is not to the swift. So you ain't got to run this race fast to get where you want to get to. He said the battle is not to the strong. So you ain't got to be tough and all biggie bad brody to get what God has for you. He said, bread is not to the wise, because your wisdom can't get you as far as God can get you to, nor the riches of men for understanding. You can't have enough money to get the gifts of God the way you want them, nor favor of the men of skill. Now, you can't have all the gifts and still not have the love. They say it, the world says it, they say, the race is not to the swift nor to the strong, but to he who endures to the end. That's how we hear it. But that's really the scripture, 9 and 11. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. That whole chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the things that God wants to give you and how you react to it. I mean, that whole chapter. So what I'm saying to you today is that hold on. God got it. He sees you trying. He sees you crying. He sees your mistakes. He sees where you are. He sees you settling. He sees you settling for where you are instead of living for what you want. You know, a lot of times we hear people say, wealthy people say, follow your dream, follow your dream. And I understand now the reason why they say follow your dream is going to make you happy. Your dream is gonna give you fulfillment. Your dream is gonna give you the peace that you want. See, so you gotta understand. Even if you don't achieve it, after 95,000 years on this earth, if you don't achieve the goal that you're reaching, just waking up every morning, driving or striving to get that same goal, it's gonna give you power. It's gonna give you what you need to keep moving. Don't give up. God got you already. He knows what you want. Listen to me. If you want to have that life where you can lay back and travel all the time, where you ain't got to go to work 9 to 5 and all that good stuff, where you want to have abundance, where you can buy the things you want, where you ain't have to worry about money, that's achievable. Write the plan and make it plain. That's what you do. Write the plan, make it plain. Write it up in steps to get to where you want to be at, and then start moving in those steps. Every day, coming in the house, praying on it. Every day, getting up, moving for that next step. You ain't got to do it all in one day. Take your time. Because the process is the part where you find joy at. Gotta make provision for the process. You ain't got to have the money for it. Just start moving in it. God has shown you ways to bring your finances together to make the thing happen. You ain't got to have it. You don't have to see it before you get it. You just have to know that I can have it. You just got to know that, okay, God, I'm moving right now. I'm going in your way. I'm trying to get to what you want me to get to, and I'm going to get there as long as you keep showing me the way. I'm really talking right now to us older folks, because we have a tendency, we get laid back. Well, life ain't gonna get no better than this. Or you get into you see your kids doing stuff over and over. You're like, oh, you're worrying so much about them and saying to yourself, instead of saying to yourself, look, they grown, they got to live their life. I want to live mine. I make a point of it all the time to remind myself that when you're an adult. You have children, and they have grown children. They're living with you. To understand that their issues aren't your issues. Their life isn't your life. See, they're living your life. You struggle for that car. You struggle for that house. You struggle to get them bills paid. You struggle for what you have. They're living your life. So when it's time for them to get up and go, then you got to know it's time for them to get up and go. Or if they're doing something in your house that's not right, you got to be willing to listen. If you want to do that, you got to do that outside somewhere. The Bible says it's for me and my house, we should serve the Lord. Hands down. Ain't no cursing, ain't no fighting, ain't no getting high, ain't no drinking, ain't none of that. If you get drunk out there, stay out there. If you get high out there, you stay out there. If you mad and angry, you want to cuss and fuss and fight, you do it out there. In my house, it ain't happening. We're not going to be sitting in here, and I'm not going to be sitting here, and me and a child of mine arguing about mine. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. And you're not coming in my house, man, woman, child, coming in my house arguing with my wife. Hands down, she right. It's all that. It's just that simple. In my house, she right. I don't care if she say 2 + 2 = 5. She right. In my house, she right. Your house, she might be wrong. In my house, she right. She right. 2 + 2 = 5. If it's 9 a.m. in the morning, she says it's nighttime. She right. In my house, she right. She walk out there, she might be subject to what y'all talking about. But in this house, she right. It's a dictatorship. It's not a democracy. It's a dictatorship. We try to run it as close to a democracy as possible, but it's not. She right, I'm right. Anything else is wrong. Because my wife and I worked our whole lives for this and for what's to come. So when it comes to being right or wrong where we are in this house, in our life, in our ministry, and the businesses that we're working toward, we're right. There is no wrong. So I'm saying this to parents right now. Hold on. God's got it. If you set your life up to put it in a place where it's structured, where you have good things happening, your love is being put out, we're constantly praying. My wife's sitting in prayer some days, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. I come home, my first thing I got to do is I got to come back here to get away from her so I can get myself right, to get the stuff the attitudes and stuff that I've been through all day. I got to get it off me to come before I come and be with her. Because we understand that in here is our place of love. In here is our place of rest. In here is our place of peace, standing. We only going to try to love those that come to our house. We're only going to try to give good counsel to those that come to our house. But you have to make it plain in your house that this is your house, this is your life, and I'm doing the best I can here. Now, if you're not doing the best you can, if you've been a lazy joker, then I got a problem with that too. But I'm apologizing. I'm apologizing because I'm saying I hold people's standards up to my standards. And my standard is every day I wake up, I got a vision board. Every day I wake up, I'm working towards that vision. Every day I wake up, my children got to have this. My family, my kids got to have that. My wife has to have this. I got to do this. I want to do this. And that's the thing about it. I want to do this. I want to wake up and go to work. And I like my job. This is what has afforded me to live the way I live. I like my God. I love my God. So I want to pray to him because this is what gave me the understanding to get where I am today. I love my wife because she's been the one standing by my side as I went forth. I love my kids because they gave me structure in my life to pull me out of that street. What you don't understand is that everything in your life has a form and a reason. And once you come to that place where you understand that, it's great. It's all good. It's wonderful. I'm going to tell you. My wife was laughing. She said, at the beginning of our walk, he used to always be amazed by me being so thankful. And I was so thankful because of the life I lived prior to finding God. I mean, I was thankful. I thought I was going to be dead at 21. I used to dream about dying at 21. That's how bad my life was. So when I hit 22, I was like, oh, my God, things better change now. I think 24, 25, I met my wife. We hooked up by the time I was 26, 27. and we've been going ever since. We were going strong ever since. And I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it. I found her, he found me, and the case that we talked about yesterday is that the funny thing is we said, I said, babe, when I met you, I told God I was only doing this one time. This marriage thing, I was doing it one time. I was going to put everything I had in it one time. She said, you know what? I know you didn't know it, but that's the same thing I said. I was only going to do it one time. And if it didn't work out, it wasn't going to work out no more. And that's why we so, that's why we laugh so much now. Because I'd be like, we'd be making jokes, and I'd be like, like, my wife is very attractive to me. She is very, I think she is so beautiful. When I look at my wife, I'd be like, man. And sometimes she catch me looking at her. She might be reading the Bible or just sitting over watching TV, and she'll catch me looking at her. And then she's like, why are you just staring at me? I said, baby, you're so beautiful. I tell her all the time. I tell her all the time. You should tell your wife that too. I'm telling you. If you see this, tell your wife you love her. Tell your wife she's beautiful. Trust me. Because if you don't tell her, somebody else will tell her. Anyway. So we always making jokes, right? We always making jokes like that. And she thought, like we'd be going places, we'll go places, and guys would be looking at her, and we'll catch guys looking at her, right? And we'll come back to together, we'll be laughing, talking about it. And I say, well, they can't afford you, baby. They can't afford you. that's how I run this joke. And I mean, and it's not that she's, my wife takes care of the expenses. Don't get it wrong. She don't spend money more than we have. She takes care of us. She takes care of me very well. But I tell them, they can't afford you. They can't afford you. they can't afford you. Because in our life right now, we've come to a point where we don't, it's not about what we need. God said he'd give you the desires of your heart. He's giving us those things now. The desires of our heart was he supplies our needs. The desires of our heart, he's given us. But along with the desires, our wants are being fulfilled at the same time. See, this thing is cool. It's so cool. And all I got to do is wake up and say, God, thank you. So today, I want to say, hold on, God's got it. So I want to give you this poem, and I'm going to get out of your way, okay? So this is a poem from Ray Cross. And the title of the poem is Thanksgiving. It's by Ray Cross, and it's entitled Thanksgiving. And this is the scripture. Poem. Thanksgiving is a state of mind. It isn't a feast or a day. It's the joy you feel within your heart for blessing God sends your way. It's the knowledge that God is good, that he is a balance that you need but to ask in faith to make all your good multiply. Whenever you're prompted to praise, as you kneel in silence to pray, when joy and love call forth your thanks, you are proclaiming Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day. Let me tell you something. Thank God daily. I praise God daily. I give God all the glory every day about everything in my life. And that's because I understand that out of all the money, out of all the sins I've gone through, out of all the things God has given me throughout the life, the greatest thing he's given me is another chance. The greatest thing that God has given me is another chance to get it right, a chance to say, Lord, thank you. I am so blessed because I understand why I'm blessed. I am so elated because I understand where I came from. I am so happy because I see what goes on around me, and I know things could be worse for me as they are for others. I thank God daily. So today, before you go into this world, before you go out there and you start your busy day and you're running around and you forget about this and forget about that and things just get all jumbled in your mind, take a moment today and say, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. I ain't got the newest car in the world, but I thank you for the hoop that you let me drive. God, I don't live in a mountain on a hill with a mansion, but God, I thank you for the humble abode you put me in. God, my kids ain't the best kids in the world, but I thank you for the kids that you gave me because I love them anyway, God. God, my clothes may not be Prada, Gucci, but God, I thank you for the clothes on my back. Lord, I may not be eating steaks every night, but God, I thank you for the food in my refrigerator. God, oh my God, see, now you get me to screaming, you get me to hollering, you get me to being happy for God. I want you to know today to hold on, brothers and sisters. Hold on out there. God's got it. If you hold on to him, he's going to hold on to you. I want to tell you today, I love you. I'm AJC, and I'll see you next time. I'll let your boy.